Hamburg Radio News. I visited with a homeless veteran about his frustrations with trying to secure housing. Happy Veterans Day and good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, November 11th, 2014. I'm Tiffany Walton. In honor of Veterans Day, USC's new Veteran Resource Center held its very first reception and open house. Sine Larson reports.
That technology is a mixed blessing. World War I was a very sobering.
Just one moment. In honor of Veterans Day, USC's new Veteran Resource Center held its very first reception and open house. Sine Larson reports.
Hundreds of Trojans veterans will have a new place to call home as the Special Resource Center officially opened its doors. President of USC Veteran Affairs Michael Johnson says it is a much-needed safe and social zone.
One of the best medicines for veterans, like especially for combat vets, is to be around other combat vets.
The new facility is located at the Ronald Tudor Campus Center and will offer services ranging from academic guidance to veteran affairs certification. Henry Marin, a USC student veteran, is excited to take advantage of the new place.
I plan on just stopping by here, you know, using the resources that are available, but the thing that I like most is just the camaraderie with the guys, you know, going in there and swapping stories or coming in for a quick bite to eat or see if someone wants to go off campus and hang out for a bit. That's what I like most about it, and that's what I plan on utilizing the most.
Other major universities like UCLA and the California State University System already have veteran centers. Timothy Day, a USC student veteran, says the center is already making it easier for vets to receive their benefits.
Just today I was able to do all my paperwork in one place and turn it in immediately rather than have to go to different offices to get things coordinated.
The resource center will serve about 900 veterans, service members, and dependents this year. Sine Larson, Annenberg Radio News.
The city of West Hollywood hosted its annual Veterans Day ceremony at the Sal Gariello Veterans Memorial. Veteran and Deputy Sheriff Christopher Landazzo served the Navy from 1996 to 2001. He shares his experience in this sound portrait.
I was in the Navy for 8 years, so I did two tours in the Gulf. I was stationed overseas on the USS Independence and the USS Kitty Hawk. I then returned to the States over at Point Magoo Naval Air Station and got out after 8 years of service. I was recalled for one additional year right after 9/11. I'm very fortunate. I think oftentimes, especially younger vets, tend to kind of disassociate themselves from their service, because when they get back, a lot of times the American people only hear about, you know, the wounded warriors or the people that have PTSD, and we're kind of put in a light that makes it seem like we have a lot of issues and a lot of problems. And not to say that there aren't a lot of those folks out there and that we need to care for those, but I think that sometimes, you know, it's kind of a drum that's beat so loudly that everybody just assumes that all veterans have disabilities. For me, I was very fortunate. I actually got to go to USC using my GI Bill. I proudly serve as a deputy sheriff, which I've been a member of law enforcement for 14 years. And so, you know, for me, my service gave me the opportunities to find amazing ways to kind of reconnect with you know, the communities that we serve. I started a nonprofit organization called Cops for Causes about 7 years ago, and we do a lot of work to help a lot of different veterans groups, a lot of initiatives to connect law enforcement to communities. Once you come back, it's never normal. You're always forever changed, and the one thing that we all share, whether it was World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Gulf War, or the wars in Afghanistan, it's a sense of brotherhood and a pride of service.
The city of West Hollywood, that sound portrait was produced by Iqbal Alsanya. November 11th commemorates Armistice Day, the day the fighting stopped to end World War I. 2014 marks the 100th anniversary of the year the Great War started. We asked USC students what they know about the First World War.
Do you know what holiday we're celebrating today?
Veterans Day celebrates all the brave men and women lost in the various wars that the United States has participated in.
Yeah, today's Veterans Day. I don't know too much about the history of Veterans Day, but I do think that it's important that we have a day to commemorate those who have served abroad for our country.
Today, we as Americans celebrate the veterans of the wars that we've participated in since our inception, focusing on Vietnam and the recent veterans from our war in Iraq.
Veterans Day celebrates our veterans, the people who, if they didn't give their lives, then served our country.
Do you know what holiday we used to celebrate on November 11th?
We used to celebrate Armistice Day, which was in remembrance of the soldiers lost in World War I.
No.
Yes, this is still celebrated around the world as Armistice Day, which is considered the last day of World War I on November 11th, 1918.
No. And how did World War I start? Do you know?
No one really knows officially why the war started. Officially, it was the Archduke Ferdinand got shot in Austria, and Serbia got mad at Austria, and then Russia backed Serbia, and then all these alliances formed, and they just started shooting at each other.
Yes, but not off the top of my head.
Many give it to the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand of Austria by the Serbians, or by who believed to be the Serbians.
World War I started because the Archduke Franz Ferdinand was assassinated.
Can you tell me why the U.S. became involved in the conflict?
A ship that was sunk by a German U-boat, I think it was the Lusitania, that had a bunch of American civilians on it. And that really pulled the American public into the war. Before that, they were very isolationist and weren't really into international politics.
No.
America got involved in the war because of our treaty with one of the countries involved.
No, I do not know why the United States entered into the war.
Paul Lerner is an associate professor of history at USC's Dornsife School. To find out more about World War I, we turn to USC history professor Paul Lerner. He came into our studios today to speak with reporter Taylor Haney.
What about that war was new, and what is unique about it still?
What was really unique about it at the time was the casualties, the use of weapons like machine guns, which produced casualties at rates that these had been seen in some contexts, like in the colonial wars that had gone on, where Europeans had really slaughtered Africans within just horrifying numbers. But these kinds of weapons hadn't been used by Europeans on other Europeans. World War One. It may be a bit of a historical cliche now, but the war was really decided by technological and industrial superiority, the ability to transport troops quickly, to get weapons to the front, to produce boots and everything else that was needed.
Finally, what themes came out of World War One that people today should remember?
One major theme that came out of World War One was the idea of trauma. And the idea that war has just profound effects on not only the victims of, you know, bullets and shelling and mine explosions, but of all the people who participated in it. And you can see World War I as really launching a century-long discussion about the traumatic effects of not only war, but all kinds of extreme situations like mass violence, sexual violence, political violence, et cetera. I would say also the idea that technology is a mixed blessing. World War I was a very sobering wake-up call that the technologies of production can also be technologies of destruction.
Dr. Paul Lerner, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Paul Lerner is an associate professor of history at USC's Dornsife School. Weather is moving through Southern California this week. The forecast includes cloudy skies with temperatures remaining in the high 60s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we visit the world's oldest war story, Homer's The Odyssey. local veterans can now independently search and access services through a new online resource portal. It's hosted by the nonprofit organization 211 LA County. The site allows U.S. military veterans to connect to services such as benefits, employment, and housing. The online resource guide was launched over the summer after the Los Angeles County Veterans Study found significant barriers to care. 50% of post-9/11 veterans reported not knowing where to get help. According to Executive Director Maribel Marin, just having resources available isn't enough. That's why 211 LA launched a veteran peer navigator service.
They want to talk to somebody who has had the same experience as them. And when they call, for the most part, they just know that they're having trouble finding work or finding housing or getting through to VA services. And they get really frustrated with the very complicated network of services and information, and they just really need somebody that they can connect with.
According to Marin, peer navigators play a critical role in coordinating care and contacting resources for veterans, as well as just keeping them motivated. California has some 15,000 homeless veterans, including 6,000 in Los Angeles County. One of these homeless veterans was living across the street from me as of just 2 weeks ago. A neighbor had let him sleep on her porch. I spoke to this 49-year-old Army veteran, Edward Deaver. He's been on an 11-year quest to get the Veterans Administration to cover his housing and disability, but there's a discrepancy over the length of his service, and that has left him in limbo on the streets. That's Edward and his paperwork. Hundreds of pages.
Treatment record. January 28th of 2002. So now how can I not be on active duty if you're asking for a treatment record and it's dated 2002 if I didn't get out in 2002? For them to say I got out in 96 is preposterous.
Throughout his military service, he fought in two conflicts and two wars, Desert Storm and Iraqi Freedom. He was severely wounded in this last war.
I got shot in the head, got shot in the chest. I actually came back in the United States in a coma. Spent 8 months in a coma.
A week or so after Edward woke up, he says the hospital told him they had to make room for other patients.
After being awake for maybe about a week and a half, they just kind of like discarded me out into the street. Even though I was wheelchaired right out of the hospital, it's like a dumpster truck. You just, okay, you're on your own.
And then you just walked away from there?
Yeah. From there, I just kind of like started walking around, trying to feel my way. And, I just stood here because I didn't know what else to do.
The place that he's referring to is an ARCO gas station near USC, where he slept for a while. Eventually, he found his way further into the neighborhood where he meets Marina.
I've known Marina for a long while. She is like one of those very special people that likes to help people.
The two become friends, and about 3 months ago, Marina allows Edward to sleep on her porch. Marina is my neighbor, and I spoke to her about Edward.
Oh, I know Edward almost like 9 or 10 years. Oh, everybody helped him. We give him sometimes $5, maybe food. 11 years, can you imagine 11 years in the street with nothing? You can shower, you can go to the restroom, you can do nothing, dirty all the time. It's horrible. For somebody go to the service to be in the street, I think it's horrible.
Marina says Edward is in emotional and physical pain.
And you know, Edward is real nervous. He remember all the flashes he said most of the time, you know, bed flashes.
The flashbacks.
Yeah. Sometimes he's asleep, you know, if we try to go outside, he know he's in the house. But you can see him jump, you know, to try to protect herself. Edward can walk no more. Her feet is real bad.
His feet?
Her feet, yes. By the time he started to walk, you can feel her bones go.
You can hear the
bone. You can hear it. He's in a bad condition. Sometimes you can see him cry outside. He don't know what to do anymore. Some people tell him, you know, we're going to get you papers. Everything is going to be ready. He go to the office 2-3 months more. This is for 11 years. Something had to be wrong. If you have the information in your hands and you can do nothing, something had to be wrong. Or they don't want to help him, you know, or they play dumbs.
Edward says vets shouldn't be forced to live on the streets.
And it's, like, really disgusting.
Marina's landlord has asked that Edward stop sleeping on the porch. So Marina told Edward he had to leave. I had gotten used to hearing the sounds of Edward pushing his grocery cart, but for over a week, I haven't heard the cart nor seen Edward. Veterans Day was established partly to help us keep in mind the stories of veterans who serve their country. The Los Angeles Public Library is keeping alive one of the oldest war stories of all, Homer's The Odyssey. Volunteers read parts of the classic story out loud during the month of October. As Andy Vasoyan reports, the ancient tale resonates to this day.
Odysseus took aim and shot, and a jet of dark blood spurted from his nostrils.
In this scene, the great Greek hero Odysseus is shooting one of his wife's would-be suitors in the neck. Murder and vengeance are pretty standard in ancient Greek storytelling, but the Odyssey tackles a smorgasbord of themes, like how to deal with the help.
And she scolded the maidservant, saying, "Your outrageous conduct does not escape me, shameless whore that you are."
Father-son relationships.
"The way I feel now, I don't think you'll see me shaming my ancestors, as you put it, Father."
And the proper way to party.
"So all the long day, until the sun went down, we sat there feasting on meat and drinking sweet wine."
The overarching story, though, is of a war hero who returns to his native land to find that coming home isn't the end of conflict.
My war was almost 50 years ago, and I've been struggling with it for the last 8 years. I went into a PTSD depression, so I suddenly realized the Odyssey was me.
While Odysseus was cursed by the gods, Lara faced a different situation.
I was gay in Vietnam, and so in those days it was a federal offense to be gay, literally. Men would get arrested and taken to Leavenworth Prison. I was discovered myself after 4 years, but decided to slash my wrists instead.
The two of them faced big opposition, and both of them found help. Odysseus called on Athena, goddess of wisdom, while Lara's way was more conventional.
I went into a therapy called prolonged exposure, and I was able to turn off the nightmares, the dreams, the smells, and everything else that were haunting me.
That prolonged exposure therapy focuses on retelling and reliving the story of a traumatic event that may have contributed to PTSD. And while the emotional burdens of war have generally stayed the same, the tools of storytelling have taken a giant leap using virtual reality technology.
You know, if they said, "Well, my trauma occurred in an Afghan village," we had a driving scenario through an Afghan environment.
That's Skip Rizzo, director for medical virtual reality at USC's Institute for Creative Technology, which develops interactive virtual reality scenarios tailored individually to each soldier.
Was it daytime? Was it nighttime with night vision gear? Was there jets flying over? Was there a helicopter hovering? How far away was the IED when it hit? Boom. The clinician delivers all those stimuli in real time.
Rizzo says that despite the advances in technology, the basic premise behind the therapy is in line with the tradition of storytelling.
It's not just a tank equipment operation simulation that we're building. You know, we're building a story about tank drivers communicating with each other. I mean,
they didn't have simulated tanks or explosions in Homer's time, but they did have that one thing that people in need always turn to, a story. Andy Vasoyan, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Anna Sterling to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Hi, Anna.
Hi. Tonight on ATVN, find out how a possible port strike could affect LA's economy. And the Coliseum opened its gates to the public today, but not for a game. Find out all this and more only on Trojan Vision's channel 8.1 or catch full episodes online at atvn.org.
The co-creator of The Simpsons, Sam Simon, was told in 2012 that he had colon cancer. He was given 6 months to live. He beat the odds for a while, but now he is preparing for the inevitable. Simon is giving his $100 million fortune to charities that protect animals. The majority of it will go to the Sam Simon Foundation, which provides veterans with service dogs. Simon told Time magazine that he stays positive by surrounding himself with those he loves. USC veterans celebrated today with an event that featured several speakers who gave an important message about military awareness.
Servicemen from the armed forces urged students on Veterans Day to remember that there are still soldiers out in the field that need support. Air Force veteran and current graduate student Travis Marr said some people don't even know American troops are still fighting.
I had a friend, and he was flying home, and he was on an airplane, and he sat next to this girl, and he was sitting next to this girl, and she said, Afghanistan, I didn't know we were still fighting a war there.
Marr and his fellow veterans hope to bring awareness to the general public and USC specifically. USC has helped in that mission by radically improving its veteran and ROTC programs.
In 1940, we formed our relationship with the ROTC, bringing in the Navy. And today, we have almost 900 veterans benefits eligible students at this university. We've given out over 230 Yellow Ribbon Awards, totaling $2.3 million.
The Yellow Ribbon Awards help servicemen pay tuition that is not fully covered by the government. This is Christiana Wiggins reporting for ARN.
That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Maya Getter, Diana Lee, Selena Say Reynolds, and Christiana Wiggins. Our board operator is Lexi McAvinci. Madeline Ooles is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Andy Vasoyan. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Tiffany Walton.
JoJo, yeah, I know your name. Thought I saw you jump a Utah train, but I could not say, I could not say. Heard you try to keep your hat on a shelf. Married a woman, went off and loved someone else. It could be as well. I cannot tell. Oh, no, I cannot tell. JoJo, don't you forget your name. I might try to keep you from the man you have been. So don't go that way. Don't go that way. Oh, 'cause the story these mornings. will be the wildest you hear.